When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What are you eating?
Cheese and C's, boy.
God damn, that looks like a good... You got cheese, C's, and peas on there? God damn, I want some cheese, C's, and peas, man. Come on.
C's and peas, dude.
God, that looks like a good snack.
These nice fucking crackers, too. These everything crackers.
Oh, those look like some good C's. Looks like a pretty good pea, too, there. Looks like pea. Looks like it's a good cured pea. I'm drinking these. I've finally figured out that my favorite hard seltzer is grapefruit, and I basically just buy them for the three grapefruits, so I found out I can just buy packs of the grapefruit White Claws. I'm telling you this now before Mike hops on, because I know he's going to make fun of me.
Swear to Christ if this thing fucking logs me out.
Oh, right away it worked. But it will log you out.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I hear it. But it will log you out later on when we go to play some of these.
Oh, yeah.
Not even going to complain about you crunching those peas, cheese, and C's, man, because it looks delicious.
What's up, you guys?
What's up, man?
What's up? Fucking, my house has been just falling apart.
What's going on over there?
Stuff that we wanted to do. Supposed to start in June. You know, working on just some replacement, some fixing up front and back porch. Front porch is turning into this friggin' project. They didn't start working until October. And then, like, there's rot under the front porch and a major thing. So we had to pull permits. And then, you know, and then there was, like, electrical, and the carpenter won't touch the electrical. So I had a couple electrical guys over here trying to find out where the wires went so they could pull them back so he could work. My fridge died.
Before
Thanksgiving, and then last night, I pulled up the sprayer from my kitchen sink. I was doing the dishes, and water was shooting out everywhere.
Oh, no.
And I was like, "Oh my god!" And that was the first. This was later in the day, and it was the first time I'd used it. And I was like, "I hope this hasn't been going on all day." And I look under the sink, and thankfully, there was a package of paper towels that we keep under the sink, which. The water was falling on, so I had 5 rolls of paper towels that were completely soaked, but they soaked up all the water.
That's not bad.
Which was good, but so I was trying to replace just the sprayer, and I pulled the quick lock valve off, and the whole pipe came off, and then there was water everywhere, and so we didn't have a sink, and I went all over town last night while everything was closing, trying to find a replacement part, couldn't do it, went out and bought a faucet today, and the electricians had to come back today. It's been like hell here.
What the hell's going on over there, Mike?
I don't know, man. You know, it's all happening all at once, and it has to happen on the holidays. This shit couldn't happen in June.
That sucks, you know? Dude.
Merry Christmas. You got a new fridge and a faucet and front stairs. Merry Christmas, kids.
Did I tell you guys? I don't remember the last time we recorded, but the same thing happened to me at midnight with my toilet. Did I tell you this?
Oh, God.
I woke up I never wake up for sounds. I'm a real deep sleeper, but I woke up because I heard a noise. Yes. And I thought, oh, my God, one of the kids left something on the stove, some mac and cheese or whatever. So I get up and I run, and on my way to the kitchen through our hallway, I step in a puddle. And I realize it's the sound is water spurting out from the bottom of our toilet, like with the intake valve. And it had been going for at least a half an hour. And Jesus. So in my panic, I forgot that there's a shutoff valve under the toilet. So I go over to the toilet and just pull on the hose like a real fucking moron. And I pull it right out, and then more water starts coming out.
What were you going to think? What do you think was going to happen?
I had woken up from a deep sleep.
Oh, okay.
I'm
so
all
you were
foggy.
Like, half, right. Yeah.
And so then I'm like, oh shit, run downstairs, shut off the water to the whole house. So I go downstairs, shut off the water, and I have to wade through water because it's our bathroom's upstairs, and it had right. been water falling
for oh, like that sucks.
15 minutes all over our clean laundry. It was, but then I was like losing my shit, and my wife was like, you know what? Imagine if this happened when we were like on vacation or yeah. because it just, the hose just failed. It's just something that happens with old hoses, yeah. I guess.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah. Was it a bad fog of loneliness? You know,
it is. And I want you to tell me why, but I watched the whole thing live from my cellar door.
I know you guys got a lot going on, but just don't let it bring you down. Okay.
Okay. I'll try not to. Did you look up at the ceiling, Luke, and say, see the sky about to rain urine all over my laundry?
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Hsu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one. It's Long May You Young.
All right, I'm hitting the theme song on that.
Okay.
So,
are you really, or are we just pretending?
No, every Zoom one I edit in, because then I can, because then I can slide it over so that the snare drum kicks in during the bit that we end with.
That's called a walk up in the business.
Is it?
Yeah.
I always want to learn the terms you guys use.
You like, hit the post. You got to walk up and hit the post.
You know what I always wanted to know what this meant? What does it mean when you pot up something? You pot something up.
The faders on a control board are called pots.
Oh,
so you're okay. Potting something up, you know?
Okay, I didn't know that.
Commercials are called spots.
This is what I get for not going to Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Right? You know, I went there when it was in Wellesley Hills.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
When it was only $1,300.
Wow.
Jeez.
Now it's $17,000.
Good Lord.
They have the old Channel 5 studio and all of the latest in digital broadcast equipment. So they got to pay for it somehow. Back then, yeah. It was just a couple of shitty Revoxes and razor blades, grease pencil, and a cart machine, you know.
It makes sense.
All from the 60s, too. They probably bought it whole, you know, at a yard sale or something like that. All right. Welcome to Long May You Young, the one of two I know of Neil Young podcasts. The other one being Don't Be Denied, out of the sovereign nation of Quebec in Canada.
Don't Be Denied is getting a lot of plugs from us, at least one a week.
At least every time we record something.
He better be giving us a lot of French plugs, is all I'm
saying. I wonder if they're giving us French plugs over there.
Joel, you better be French plugging the shit out of this podcast.
I got a French plug when I was in Amsterdam, and I found out later it was a guy. So there's only two, and us Neil Young podcast people have to stick together.
Hell yeah,
regardless if they're in different countries. It's a Neil Young world.
Yes,
so,
Shu, what do you think of my cheese C's and P?
What's a cheese C? Is that like a butt plug? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that like
it's called a French plug?
It's a French plug. What is that? Oh, it's pepperoni.
Cheese, pepperoni, and crackers. Everything crackers.
It looks
is that
delicious.
What you're down to, Russ?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that all? It's like wasa. And
I know you're being serious, but I mean, I know you're being silly, but that's actually really what it is. Yeah.
We should say.
I can't afford my car bill, let alone my fucking rent that's coming up soon.
He's all bundled up and he's eating cheese and crackers in his freezing cold apartment.
You know what? Speaking of French plugs, we should give a little plug for the Russ Man. He's got some music he's going to be putting out, I think, this week.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get it done this week.
Where can people find it? You don't know yet?
I don't know. I was actually going to talk to you about what you think I should do.
Russ is funny because he's one of the best songwriters I know, but he's so bad at this part of it.
Like, of the business?
Like, yeah, like getting it out to people and like... It's funny. But we'll post links. What Russ has,
once it's up there.
Music he's been working on for a while. Right. He showed me it's really, really good. So
it won't be that. Well, it won't be that stuff. It'll be lo-fi laptop stuff.
Literally, don't say any of that. This is what I'm talking about.
Russ, you're driving me nuts, and I know you're eating, but talk into the microphone, man.
All right. There you go. But I don't want the mouth sounds. I don't want the crunch sounds.
Well, the ASMR fans will love it. Okay, they'll be like, "Hey, have you listened to that Neil Young podcast?"
They'll be like, "I'm pretty sure Russ is eating everything crackers, a nice aged cheddar cheese."
Yeah, I can in a pepperoni, kind of a mid range pepper. Is it a Carando?
I think it is. Yeah Market Basket,
bag of Carando,
the one they always have like on those ends.
Mike, for $5.
Yeah. I know you're a skinny bitch now, just like me. We're a couple of skinny bitches, but that was the fattest thing you've ever said.
What?
Knowing the brand of pepperoni he had.
I loaded up to the Zoom camera. I was like, that looks like Carando. That is definitely, look at that. That's Luke and Russ Condon from the Bandtown Meeting, and I'm Mike Shue, and this is the Neil Young podcast, Long May You Young, where we talk about Deep Purple. So today we're going to be covering one of the
Get Back, the Beatles documentary, right, on Disney Plus.
We're going to talk about the Beatles.
We are going to talk about the Beatles.
We are eventually going to talk about one of the archive releases, Live at the Cellar Door.
Yes.
Which is just lovely.
I thought it was great.
I loved it too.
I liked it a lot.
And there's a couple of really impressive firsts on here. What's really interesting is this, you know, you got to think about, and we try to do this, what's going on in Neil's life around this particular time. And whether it was, you know, fork in the road and it was all Link Volt, or whether it was, you know, Time Fades Away and he was dealing with fame and stuff like that. And there was a lot, this was kind of like this is right before Harvest, immediately after the Gold Rush. And immediately, I mean that like by 3 months, he's out there doing it. And it was right after a failed attempt to record a follow-up to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Deja Vu. And he had just basically told Stills to fuck off. And there was a lot going on. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But and plus, he was getting ready for a couple of big Carnegie Hall shows. I think the same Carnegie Hall shows that they just released on a bootleg. Was that the bootleg? Yeah.
I think so. Well, this is basically the Massey Hall's cousin, right? Kind of?
Massey Hall was, I don't know. Massey, because he recorded Massey Hall before he went to Nashville, right?
I don't remember but I just mean like stylistically, they're super similar.
Isn't this around the time that he releases, because in it he says, this is on my new record.
Right, that's after the Gold Rush.
After the Gold Rush, right.
Yeah, this was recorded in December, or no, actually on this day.
That we're recording right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
November 30th, that's when we're recording right now.
Oh, that's cool.
I believe that was the first of a few nights at the Cellar Door. Yeah, see, time-traveling vampires.
Hey, like, Daryl, they figured it out.
Hey, Daryl, watch me freak these guys out.
Hey, Daryl, Russ is eating Garando pepperonis.
Do we have any Garando?
Come on, man.
So, on this day, and he did 6 shows at the Cellar Door to warm up for his Carnegie Hall shows.
And the Cellar Door is in D.C., correct?
Yeah, this is in Washington, D.C. And Russ, I don't know if this was pre-back injury, you know, because during Harvest, and I know during Massey Hall, he mentions that. Remember?
Right.
Says, oh, I can't bend over because it hurts my back and I might not get back up.
That's not the same as when he went to the doctor who like reached inside him or whatever.
Ew.
Hmm. You sure that's not a dream you had?
Did we no, man. What's is it on Massey Hall? Oh, no, it's not Massey Hall. It's, fuck.
But it was, I don't know.
You don't remember the doctor rap where he talks about.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's like that man on the moon scene.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is pre back injury, but he had just moved also out of Topanga and moved out to the ranch at this point, I believe.
Okay.
So he was fresh on the ranch. He had just dumped Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I believe he was also either getting a divorce or getting ready to divorce his first wife, Susan Acevedo. Is that her name? And then, so there was a lot going on with him right now. Plus, he was writing like crazy.
He was
writing a shit ton of stuff. And, you know, he was already done with After the Gold Rush, and he was already looking, you know, for the next thing. And the couple of firsts on here are his first live performance of Old Man. And I believe...
Is it the first? First ever?
Old Man is good, too. It's a good version.
And See the Sky About to Rain, I believe, is also a debut.
Yeah, that seems to me like it would be a debut.
So apparently this was only 7 weeks either before or after Massey Hall. I'm sorry. 7 weeks separated from the Cellar Door shows and another archive. Okay, no, I'm fucking this up. But either way, this is...
Why do you...
This is between the two shows, the Massey Hall show and this one, he throwed his back on the ranch.
Right. So he has, this is pre-back injury.
Okay. So this one, it was this one, then probably Massey Hall, I think. We should know this.
Well, no, Massey Hall was 1971. So
not
that was
really, there's way too many of these archival.
And you know what? Yeah. There's a lot of these solo acoustic, like 1970.
Listen, we'll leave that up. We'll leave that up to Joel. We'll let the French guys handle that.
Right, also, this is technically part of the Archives performance series. This is this album is volume 2.5. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like part of like volume two, I believe, was Live at the Fillmore East with Crazy Horse.
I don't remember.
And then this is 2.5. And then I think Massey Hall was volume 3. Yeah, it's, you know, that's that friggin' time traveling vampire.
Yes.
You know, Aronofsky pie, you know. Ordering of numbers that Neil does that he learned from the Sumerians when he was traveling back in time.
The only thing I know about this is I love where this falls. I love that this was released in 2013, even though he had already released the Archives Volume 1. But this is a great come down from Psychedelic Pill and a good intro into A Letter Home. I feel like this is a good release between those two. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's kind of like in what he, you know, the whole, it's kind of like, you know, he does these full-on electric albums, you know, like Ragged Glory. He did Freedom, Ragged Glory, and Weld. And then he was like, okay, I got to chill out. And he did Harvest Moon, you know. And this is kind of like that. Like, he had Psychedelic Pill, and he's like, I think I'm going to put out an acoustic thing now. You know, not recorded, you know, but it's kind of like that same pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was great. I listen to Psychedelic Pill so much, and I think this was kind of good, especially because I dipped into other shit. I cheated on Neil a little bit over the past few weeks.
It's been all Beatles.
It's been all Beatles since
that. I haven't watched any of that yet.
Oh, you haven't?
You haven't?
No, my house has been freaking chaos. I haven't had time to...
I don't know if we should talk about it.
Well, then. we got to talk about it a little. Mike, all I'm going to say, knowing you, you're going to fucking love this documentary.
Is it mostly Yoko Ono?
Because there's a lot of her.
I would love that so much.
There's a lot of her in it, and you're going to hate her.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's a lot of shit in it. And we won't go into depth here, but I just want to at least say this one thing. I apologize for my Ringo bashing.
There you go. Good boy.
The guy work in the process.
I'm man enough to admit when I was wrong, and Ringo is a fucking great drummer. He's a really talented drummer, a great member of the Beatles.
He's a great guy.
He just seems like a good dude. He seemed so sad. in this documentary, man. Because I think the writing was on the wall. I think he knew, and he was like, shit. And then
he quit the band first, a long time before that.
Ringo did?
While they were recording the White Album, he took off. He was like, I'm tired of this shit. And he left for a little while. Yeah.
I didn't know this at all.
Yeah.
I thought that I knew the Beatles fairly well, and I'm realizing I don't know shit about the Beatles because I've always known they were a great band, but I don't think until this documentary I realized.
Don't tell Tyler Mahan Coe that.
Oh, I know.
Right. Tyler Mahan Coe is not only is he a great podcaster and country music historian, but he's one of the greatest trolls in internet history.
He's a great fucking troll.
Okay, yeah. That whole podcast, you know, your favorite band sucks. That is just one gigantic friggin' troll.
It's an incredible troll, but you notice they've never done Neil because they can't even do it. I challenge them to do Neil.
No, they couldn't anyway, because that whole episode on the Kershaws that he did on fucking Cocaine and Rhinestones. Yeah. The whole time he's just creaming in his pants over Neil.
Yeah, because Neil fucking rules and everyone knows it. And he can't even troll that Neil sucks. He can't even do it.
Luke, I'm glad that you're admitting you were wrong about Ringo. And I'll say too that as far as like the times that I rewound a bunch of times, Ringo had those moments for me.
Really?
Yeah, you know what a couple of them were? Was the one where Linda's daughter comes in.
Yeah, was adorable.
And she hits the snare and Ringo does the like...
Yeah, he's fucking great.
It's so adorable. Charming.
All of them were. Charming as shit. And then I'm like, this is going to be...
And then the other one, of course, was the fot.
Yeah, that was great. But I thought this is going to be filled with Paul and John fucking butting heads, and you're like, oh my god, like
no, it was, yeah, that was the
opposite
weird thing.
Of that. They were really good friends, like even towards the end when I'm sure there was all kinds of contention, like it was still there.
I was shocked at how it was kind of like the tension was with Paul and George, but
well, George was super resentful. I mean, without saying this, without watching this yet, but reading about that time period, George had all those songs that they wouldn't let him record. They wouldn't let him put them on the album. They gave him like one or two songs an album.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, he left and put out a fucking triple album because he had all these tunes.
All Things Must Pass was a triple album?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Although I think One Side is like a jam session.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, that's a lot of music.
We have to talk, Mike. You have to watch it because we have to talk about it.
Yeah, we will.
We have to talk about this.
Are we going
to
do Are we going to do a Patreon episode?
Let's just do that.
All our Patreon.
Neil Young guys talk the Beatles.
All our Patreon content is literally nothing to do with Neil Young, except for the first two. The first two were about the archives, and then we had Adam Volokh on, so that was
that was fun.
Good. And then last week we had Nails Does Nils. And apparently
I haven't heard that yet.
Okay, well, I'll give you
I haven't heard it either.
Nils volunteered to help me out with a patron episode. Nails did, sorry.
Nails.
Nails
not
did.
Nils.
I know. He said did it cut out for you?
No. My fucking shit just logged out again.
The archive. Hey, Neil, if you're listening, have them work on the archives because it keeps booting me out too, Russ.
Fuck.
Like you have to, it logs me out and you got to log back in.
I told you before we started recording it was going to do that.
Of course.
Hey, Daryl, you're getting logged out too.
Yeah, Neil's getting logged out of his own.
Hey, Daryl, call Volokh.
Call Volokh. I am bummed we didn't get to hang out with him, but he sounded like he was flustered. He had to get back to Canada. So.
Thanksgiving is a crazy time.
I don't want to go into a crazy tangent. I was just saying.
Oh, you're talking about Nails.
Oh yeah, we did Nails. Apparently, Nails volunteered to help me with a Patreon episode, and I said, "Let's talk about your half brother Nils' first album." And he said, "Of course." And then he apparently doesn't know anything about it and only wanted to talk about Nails. So,
of course.
But then we found.
What don't you get about that?
I don't know, but I know.
Seriously. Feel
like I'm going to walk into that trap again.
It's par for the course with nails. And you should know that.
But I will
say
we've
been dealing
this.
With nails for almost a year.
I'm starting
now.
To think he's not actually related.
I don't know if he is, but I don't want to confront him about it because he always has nails.
I think he's
with
using
him.
Nils Lofgren to advance his nail business.
He definitely is.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
But anyway, after Nails left.
If you're not careful, you're going to end up with a nail head at the end of your bed.
After Nails left, John, you guys know John, came over.
Yeah, sure.
And found an old notebook. Me and my wife just cleaned out our bedroom, and I found a bunch of old notebooks. But he found this folder filled with poetry and raps I wrote in the 7th and 8th grade.
Oh, my God. Oh, Patreon. Come on, you got to record some of those for Patreon.
Yeah, he read some of them out loud, including a rap I wrote about him when I was mad at him. I really am regretting showing him this at all. But anyway, we get into that on the point is we have a Patreon, and if you want to hear all our non-Neil Young content, apparently just go over to that.
Except for Volek.
Volek.
Except for Adam Volek.
No,
and Luke and I did covers.
Yeah, Russ, you got some good response. You know what? Let me just a quick plug for the Patreon. One new patron, Billy Baxter. Shout out to him. And then we have
Billy.
I
thought you were gonna say Billy Bass. I was like, did he tell him to get his fucking shine box?
Come on. Hey Daryl, keep him here.
Hey, Daryl, they're talking about Goodfellas.
Come on, man. And then I do want to
Daryl.
What is that, Russ? Is that you? What's that like noise?
He's rubbing pepperoni all over his microphone.
Stop doing that.
All right. Yeah, I'm trying to fix my mic stand, but go ahead. I'll mute my mic for
your hands are all greasy with cheese, with beef and cheese.
That's right, baby.
Sit on a throne of lies.
All right, I'm going to fix my mic stand. I'm going to mute myself, so go ahead.
I liked it. Any elf reference is allowed. Then I want to thank our three members of the old silver gold tier. Mark Ray, who is the non-artist formerly known as Goohead. Of course, the ever-present John Locke, one of our favorite dudes. And then Craig Bait or Bite. And
he left a comment.
He did.
On the Facebook post saying you pronounce it, but he didn't clear it up. Do you have it?
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Is that
I have it right here.
No, you said it right, but he doesn't tell us.
So
he gives two different words with two different pronunciations.
Yes, I think that's the joke, Mike.
He's fucking with us. Fuck that guy.
I know, you fucking moron.
From now on, it's Craig Bitch then.
What the fuck is that guy?
Definitely Craig Bitch from now on. But no, he wrote, I wanted to apologize for any confusion I caused with regards to the pronunciation of my last name. That's very rude of me. The easy trick I give people is that it rhymes with words like weight or height.
Yeah, this is right.
That's fucking hilarious. Oh, I loved it. Anyway, join our Patreon, patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. We will get into more of the archives. We're going to watch Back to the Future 2. We're going to do all kinds of fun shit. I think we're even going to go over Ben Keith's Christmas album.
Yeah, we should. Oh, yeah. That's a good story, too.
It's a great idea.
That's a good idea. Also on social media, just to get that in real quick, we are at Long May You Young on Instagram and also Twitter. We have a Facebook group where a lot of action happens, and then we also post on the Neil Young subreddit if you want to check out the discussions that go on there. And we appreciate everybody contributing on all of our social media.
Absolutely. I did post this album on Facebook and a few people commented on it. So Kurt Kepler says, totally agree on the joy of this live album. The songs may be the same, but each one is always somewhat different. Who else would offer up these old classics and accept them for what they are? Which I agree. I think this is I think you can kind of feel Neil's energy in this.
Yeah. You can tell he's very excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's excited. I think, you know, all of that stuff going on in his life too, you know, and I think that I'm guessing he felt really energetic because of his recent decision to depart Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yeah. You can feel it's like he's on the good part of a crossroads, I feel like, because I think he is starting to enter his relationship with Carrie, I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
he was,
so.
Yeah, because he was still with his first wife when he started hanging out with her, wasn't he?
Yep.
Was it them?
I think
that was it her that moved into the ranch while Susan was still living on the ranch?
I think
was
so.
Was it that, or was it the other way around? Was it Peggy that moved in and Carrie was still on the ranch?
I don't remember.
Because remember, it was like we said, well, that must have been a real awkward situation.
What? I can't.
Yeah, wait, was that on the beach?
That may have been on
time.
No.
Because if it was, then it. Yeah, I don't remember. The fucking French guys will figure it out.
Yeah, listen to the other podcast. They're better
listen
at that.
Listen to you,
part.
Depending on the French. Really?
We just do Goodfellas.
Every time we get stuck. Hey, don't forget about the Sopranos.
That's true, yeah.
Daryl, where's the gabagoo?
Hey, Daryl, these guys don't know what they're talking about.
Speaking of the other podcast, I'm not going to read his whole thing because Joel writes a lot. But our buddy Joel from the other podcast says, I've been digging a lot into those 70-71 concerts for my own podcast. A lot of people complain that he released too much shows from this tour, but to me, they're all so different from one another. Also, they're all so significantly important because of what was happening in his life. It's just so crazy
right.
to be able to hear a performance from almost every major event of this man's career. Actually, I will read this whole thing because I think he clears some of this up. He says, before leaving for Washington to play these shows at the Cellar Door, he broke up with CSNY, he fired Crazy Horse, he divorced Susan, and he moved to Broken Arrow. Then during his trip, he went to the movies to see Diary of a Mad Housewife and fell in love with Carrie Snodgrass.
And that's where you get the song from On the Beach.
See the sky about to rain?
No, the motion pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And also,
get Man Needs a Maid, that line and that verse in Man Needs a Maid.
Yeah.
Also, we should just join forces and make a super podcast with Joel.
Well, I was going to say, I love how you stop and you're like, actually, I am going to read this whole thing because he clarifies things. And that's why I said, leave it to the fucking French. We don't need to deal with it. They can deal
French.
With it.
Honestly, it's a good thing he does his podcast in French, because if it was in English, people would just leave our podcast.
Oh, 100%. I'm sure people are still.
You think
people are probably people who don't speak French are probably still listening to it just so that they can hear Neil Young.
Yeah,
have you guys actually listened to it yet? Does he go? Does he go? Like, does he talk and then does he go? Bonjour, Daryl.
Come on, man. Come on. Don't say
Daryl. They're speaking French.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Anyway, that's great. Also, check out Joel's Facebook group, Neil Young Canadian Posting. It is constantly hilarious. John Locke says another great solo live record from Neil. Pete Lacey, it was just a live album too far for me. It's great now that I've taken the time to listen to it, but I'd already got Canterbury, Massey, Riverboat, and before then a bunch of bootlegs from around that period. And then he says, P.S. All hail the fabulous Ringo.
And those bootlegs will probably be coming out. I don't know if you guys saw in the archives when he posted all those bootlegs he had ready to come out.
Yeah. Oh, and we
took them all and took all. It was just the artwork, but then he took it all down. There was like six of them, and most of them were, I believe, from around this time, or they were solo acoustic.
He must have just recorded everything from around this time. I'll just read one more because I also posted that we'd probably be talking about the Beatles because Mike, I thought you posted that you saw it, but I must have misread it.
Posted that. That Luke hates Ringo and don't listen to anything that he posts on Facebook. Yes. He's bullshit.
I just apologize for that. So anyway, so Matt Devlin writes, a great album, but could have used a little more Mal Evans on the anvil, which is great. If you watched Get Back,
my God. Get that.
But anyway.
Didn't you say there was a new review?
Oh, yeah. If you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it. Let me read that now. Someone left a 5-star review on iTunes. It's
very impressive.
No, I'm just pulling it up. It's from Sergeant Stills.
Oh God.
The review
is, I hope this is really Stills.
The review, it might be, because I think it's just lyrics from one of the songs off the album. I'm almost positive. Off the Stills Sergeant Young Band Stills. Album. Amazing. But the album is titled "The Shark Over There Holds No Terror." And then
that shark over there.
He just writes, "They call it Rapture of the Deep. Be you not afraid. You're too far down by now to be scared. 287 feet. I saw Jesus, and it made sense that he was there." That's from a song, right?
That's from, what is the name of that song with that shark over there?
Yeah, that's
algae. Coral. Something coral. What the fuck? Why don't we remember? Why don't we remember every song off that album?
Because that album sucks. That's why we don't remember. We don't reserve precious brain space for, you know, detritus such as, you know, "Long May You Run."
Coral Moon.
Except for that one song.
Coral Moon or something like that.
Coral Moon.
It's definitely not Coral Moon. Because
I think it's Coconut Sunrise.
It's Maui Wowie.
I think it's...
It's SPF 50.
Black
banana,
coral.
Banana boat on my neck.
Black coral.
Yeah, black coral. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Sergeant Stills. That's true. I mean, I was just going to mention, you know, we get, you know, we'll read the 5-star review. If it's 5 stars, we'll read whatever it says.
Yes, we will.
We have yet, we only got, I believe, one actual negative review that we had to read.
We've probably got more. we just haven't found them. I do want to really quickly get into some Neil Young news, you guys, if that's all right.
It's time for Neil Young news.
What the fuck's wrong with your voice?
This is from Stereo Gum. Neil Young releasing another lost album, 1987's Summer Songs. Neil Young keeps digging into his vault and finding new things. Last year, he released Homegrown, recorded in 74. And on his official website over the weekend, Young announced the existence of another lost album, a collection of tracks from 1987 that was dubbed Summer Songs. We are not sure of the exact original dates of these recordings yet, Young wrote. They were all given the same date in the NYA Vault's records, but they all have a very similar, unique sound. To give you an idea of place and time, Farm Aid and the Bridge School concerts had just begun their long runs. So that's pretty cool. We got more stuff coming out, but this time from the mid-80s. So
that was Landing on Water time.
The best time, I guess.
They do list some of the songs that are going to be on it. The songs include in the collection The Last of His Kind, For the Love of Man, American Dream, Name of Love, Someday, One of These Days, Hanging on a Limb, and Wrecking Ball.
Well, is that American Dream that he did with Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
I don't know. It says, yeah, it must be, because it says these all eventually made their way onto completed albums appearing on Freedom, American Dream, Psychedelic Pill, and Harvest Moon. So, but he said, Young says, the words of these originals are significantly different from their subsequent master album releases in many cases. So I'm actually pretty excited about this.
Yeah, interesting.
And then, of course, Barn comes out next week.
Barn!
Yeah.
Did you see the picture that he tweeted of him and Ralphie having a cup of tea?
No.
During the Barn sessions? It's like them in that beautiful, you know, wood, you know, house that they recorded in. And they've got like cups of tea. They're like smiling at the camera. That's all it said. It just said Barn, and then it had that picture.
Yeah, every picture just says Barn, Blu-ray,
all caps. Yeah,
Blu-ray.
I want to make that my ringtone, or at least my alarm in the morning. Barn.
Oh, I thought you meant Blu-ray.
That too.
Can I read? Are you done, Luke?
Yeah.
I got a tweet from Jan Ficker Ruiz on at Long May You Young on Twitter asking, why don't you make your 3, 2, and 1 and cut albums from each decade?
Oh,
I think that's a good Patreon idea.
We should definitely do that.
But
say
you know
it again.
Jan Ficker Ruiz says, why don't you make your 3, 2, and 1 picks, top three picks, and your cut from albums from each decade.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I actually like
I was thinking we should do that for Patreon. And then I'm thinking, what if Jan isn't a patron? we take his idea and we
all right. He better join.
Oh, there you go, Jan.
That's actually a great. I feel like some decades would be easy, and some would be very hard. I feel like all his odd decades would be hard, and his even decades would be easy for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the 90s and the 70s will be hard for me because I feel like I really like a lot of his shit.
Yeah.
But 80s, I think, will be easier because I don't know. And 2000s.
Because a lot of it was really terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not really terrible. There were some extremely terrible moments, but
yeah,
there's some good stuff too.
Yeah. It's also tricky to do, to do stuff like that on this podcast because there's like, how do you get into what, like, is Homegrown from the 2020s or from the 1970s?
Well, you got to go. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I guess you got to go by when it was recorded because he meant to put it out.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, this was recorded in 1970, so.
Yeah, on this day, as mentioned earlier, yeah. November 30th in 1970.
Because this is similar to other albums, I don't think we have to go song by song in this. But I do think there's some obvious highlights from this. But is there anything else on social media that you guys wanted to talk about?
No, I'm good.
That's all I had.
Okay, cool. I think for me, so when I listened to this, I obviously loved it because, like I said, coming off a psychedelic pill, I think this was a good come down and a good intro into a letter home. But, I think it's, if we had just listened to this out of that context, I don't know if it would have stood out to me as much, except for a few things. I love his energy on this. I love, I feel like you can really kind of feel his excitement for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the best version of expecting to fly but also flying on the ground is wrong.
So you think this is the best version of expecting to fly?
I love this version.
I do too. It's in my top three.
Yeah. My top three are all piano.
It's very good.
Yeah. I still have to say my favorite version of Expecting to Fly, and that's like one of my favorite songs from Neil, is the original recording
from
Buffalo Springfield.
Oh, yeah. The Buffalo one, right?
Yeah. Just love it. It's just so dreamy and beautiful.
It is. It's a cool one.
It's like a slowly rolling landscape, you know? Yeah. And I like this one too, but I kind of like all, you know, did Jack Nietzsche produce that one?
I don't know.
I think we talked about that. I thought maybe we looked it up and he wasn't at the time.
All right.
He might have though. It's very Nietzsche. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll cover it accurately on Don't Be Denied. So
right.
Just learn.
Yes. Yeah. Just learn French.
Yeah. So anyway, and there's more to it, but I don't know. What were your guys' initial kind of getting back into it this week?
I love this for, you know, I've shared the same feeling that there's an energy in his voice and he is really in great voice on this.
Oh yeah.
Album.
Yeah.
And I think that the debut songs, he sounds actually a little timid. Like Luke, I know you were saying, I love this version of Old Man. This is the first time he's singing this in front of people.
It's wild.
He kind of sounds, yeah. And in See the Sky About to Rain, he sounds timid too.
Yeah. It was the first time he was playing these.
Yeah.
And when I learned that, when I was reading up on it, I totally went back and listened to those. I was just like, really? And I'm like listening to him. And you can kind of tell he's a little timid, you know, a little nervous about the new material.
Yep. Well, it's also fascinating when he says, I've been playing piano seriously for almost a year.
A year.
I know.
Fucking nuts.
The whole piano rap near the end.
Oh, my God.
Is so good.
It's awesome.
You know, like in Canterbury House, that stuff is like in between almost every song. But I like how it's kind of like, you know, you've gone through I Am a Child and Down by the River.
Yeah.
And you're getting kind of heavy. And then he kind of like lightens it up with this whole, you know, the Neil humor about the, you know, wanting a 9-foot piano. And,
that was awesome.
Yeah. And the whole like doing the,
like the creepy noises.
Yeah. Drama. Luke, can you go to that and go to 2:16 in?
I have it, but which one?
Sorry, Russ.
Is it down? Yeah, is it after down? It's fine on the ground.
Yeah. Okay. So go to like 2:15 into that.
All right.
You'd laugh too, you know.
See?
If this was what you did for a living.
I just
was
love that.
Yeah.
It's just completely that, like Neil Young's like this tortured soul singer songwriter. Yeah,
I love everybody claps for it too. It's so good.
It just reminds you, remember, it's all ridiculous. This is a ridiculous business.
Oh, it's
and
awesome.
It's entertainment and, you know, it's beautiful. They're beautiful songs, but really, you know.
I'll say this, and I don't mean this to be demeaning, but Neil is adorable on this album.
He is. No, he's
so, you know what I'm saying?
He's so cute. It's so funny.
He's cute as fuck on this album. He should have called this album cute as fuck.
He should have called it Cutie Pie. He should have called it Neil Young. I'm a little cutie pie.
What? I don't get the cute.
Like, so even like when he comes out, I think it's like the on the second song, he's like, this is the first time I done that song. Or
right, yeah, he's kind of, yeah, me.
He's just like innocent. He's got like a little lisp,
kind of. It's like, man, I kind of want to like, come on, just like cuddle.
Just want to give him a little kiss on the forehead, you know?
Just get a little, just watch a little Netflix with him. I don't know.
This is going to a weird place, you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now it's going to a weird
place. Excuse
us. Hey, Daryl, Luke wants to fuck me.
I didn't say that.
I said he's adorable. He's fucking adorable as shit on this record. And you know it's true, Mike. You're getting all red over there.
Adorable's not the word I would use.
Okay.
Maybe a little timid compared to something like Canterbury House, where he's just like, he's up there like Dean Martin.
Yeah.
You know, and he's cracking jokes and telling funny stories and he's quick about it. And, you know, maybe that was a cocaine night. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's doing that on this one too. Like
not,
the whole
not like that though.
But no, like, they also cut a bunch of his like kind of raps in between shit too from this. So I think I'm happy they did because I think too much would have been overkill, but it's just the right amount that I'm like, ah, oh, goddamn Neil, you're really turning me red here. I want to take you out for Valentine's Day.
I think it's just his like he. You just heard him do one. He does like these little giggles, you know,
these cute little giggles.
Yeah, like
these. I don't know. Adorable wouldn't be the word.
Well, you know, tomato, 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 adorable. Whatever you need, man. I'm just saying, he's fucking giving it to me good on this album.
Jesus Christ! Stop it.
And then, but then, like first of all, okay. Cinnamon Girl, holy shit. Like, and then it's so good on piano. I also read somewhere this is the only time he's ever done this on piano.
Now, is it the only time he's ever done it or the only time it's been recorded?
Only time it's been recorded. But then
I'm just trying to figure. So would like if this is the only time he played this on piano, then he liked it about as much as I did because I didn't think that was that's the weakest track on this album.
Strong disagree. This is in my top three, Cinnamon Girl.
Really? Piano?
Yeah, because it's so kind of unique.
The only reason why you like it is because at the end he goes, I never played this one on piano before.
You goddamn right it is.
Does he sound like, what's his name, Hubert from Family Guy?
Hey, Molly Arm, just for you, Lukey. You want to come in for a cupcake and a glass of wine?
No, he doesn't.
That's right. It's just for you.
No, that's not adorable.
Canterbury House, you know, he's all giggity goo, you know, and then this one, he's, you know.
I can't watch Family Guy anymore.
Why?
Have you seen the South Park episode where they make fun of how they make Family Guy episodes?
No.
You got to look it up because I'm not going to do it justice. But the point is, Family Guy, the writing staff just has manatees go over and pick random balls of things, like subjects, and then they bring them over, and so then they're like, oh, the manatee brought over a chalkboard. So then the person, and then another manatee will bring over 1974, and another manatee will bring over like washing my clothes. And then so Peter would be like, oh, that reminds me of the time I lost my chalkboard in 1974. And it's just, it ruined every episode of Family Guy for me. Mike, you'll love it. You got to just Google South Park Family Guy. Anyway, I just love Neil on this. I just love Neil on this record. I love Neil, and I love Neil on this record. He's somehow like balances innocence and confidence in a way that I can't even handle.
He does. And for someone at this point who's been doing it like professionally for how many years at this point? Like 5 years anyway?
70. I mean,
like 65, right? Is that when Buffalo Springfield started? Something like that. You know, plus what he was doing in Canada before he went to California.
You know, it's wild.
It's not like he's like a rookie at this point.
You know what's wild?
But he still sounds like it. You know, he has that, I'm just agreeing, you know, saying he has that, sounds like that innocent kind of timid guy. Like, I can do this thing and I don't think it's great, but people seem to like it. So, okay.
See, that's not adorable. You know what's wild though? And not to keep bringing it back, because we will eventually cover the Beatles on this Neil Young podcast. But I was thinking about this watching this documentary, because the Beatles broke up in 70, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's when Neil started his solo career.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles were already done, and then Neil started his solo career. It's just wild to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you saying there's a connection?
Well, I mean, Neil loves the Beatles, obviously, especially right. Paul. Like, I mean, all of them, I'm sure, but like, he's done stuff with Paul. I don't know.
But is there a Sopranos connection?
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the Beatles.
Because Paul McCartney's nickname was Paulie Walnuts. I think.
No, don't call me Paulie Walnuts, please.
I love you too, Johnny Cakes.
Hey, George. They're calling me Paulie Walnuts.
It's George Martin, of course, not George Harrison, you know.
Hey, Linda. They're calling me Paulie Walnuts. Oh, drums. Hey, Ringo. Play the drums, will you?
Stop.
Russ is like,
no, yeah. That's what Russ says, so we can stall and think about how to add to the bit. That's a classic Russ move. That's a CRM right there.
Well, the rap before flying on the ground is wrong. I'd put that in my top three. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take that liberty like we've been taking lately. I'll put that in my top three.
Just the rap? I would put that whole song is my number one, flying on the ground.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's great. That song is great, and I know that song's been creeping up on this podcast the past bunch.
Yeah, but this isn't the best version of that song.
I really like this version, though, and I like his explanation in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Also, did Richie write this song? I think Richie wrote this song.
I don't think so.
No? I feel like Richie.
Well, I'd look it up on Neil Young Archives, but it logged me out. Seriously.
I'll look it up right now. It's not on, the song is not on Wikipedia, which is annoying.
Which is adorable.
Oh, no. Written by Neil Young, but Richie did the vocals in the original song. Obviously, it's not a Richie song because Neil covers it a ton, and that would be an issue probably.
Who do you mean by Richie?
Richie Furay.
Oh.
Richie Furay.
Foo-ray. What other stuff did you guys like on here?
I like Bad Fog of Loneliness a lot.
I do like that one a lot.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
What was the other one I liked? Yeah, I liked Expecting to Fly, but I don't think it was my favorite.
You know what I love the most about Expecting to Fly, this particular version, is the ending, where he's slamming those notes, and he's making it super dark and foreboding at the end. You know, it's like the buzz is gone. Somebody killed the buzz, and I just love how that song just turned around, in a second, and just became this dark and like nemesis or menacing. That's the word. Dark menacing tune. And I think he was just having fun because he keeps doing it. He was just pounding away and creating tension. And I think he was getting off on that.
Mike, you love it when someone's really pounding away and getting off.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure that.
Are you going to use that as a drop?
Probably. Actually, no, because it's Zoom, and so it'll be
it'll be
Mike going, yeah, I just love because he was pounding away in the sex.
Yeah. And then there's a
yeah. That's a classic.
No, that's why Expecting to Fly isn't. You know what? I'll break the mold here. I know we do it at the end. Here's my top three.
All right, yeah, let's get into it. Top three right now. Russ,
okay.
Put the pepperoni down.
Put down the goddamn Cardano pepperoni or whatever.
I'm looking at, that's Carondo.
Whatever.
I'm on archives on my phone because if I do this, I lose.
Yeah, it keeps you on.
I got my three if you want me to go
for
first,
it, man.
Russ.
Go, Luke.
All right. Yeah. My three is Expecting to Fly. My two is Cinnamon Girl. And my one is Flying on the Ground is Wrong. The whole thing. Wow. So, and my cut song, as controversial as this is, Down by the River.
Oh, really?
Because it's been done, and maybe again because I've heard it twice now. He did it on Young Shakespeare. I think, did he do it on Massey Hall? Like, I've just, this year I've kind of been saturated with this kind of slower version of it. Mm-hmm. So, and I still don't think any version of Down by the River has come close to his original version. It's one of my favorite.
You mean on Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nothing. Not even Fish.
No.
Not even the version you did with Fish.
Yeah, I agree. And
sorry.
No, it's all right. And now I think it was interesting the first time I heard it. And if I had heard this first, I wouldn't feel the same way. And I do love it. I think it's great. But it's not for this one. I love kind of everything else on it. But those are my three. And then probably if I had to pick a fourth, it would probably be either Bad Fog or Old Man. So,
well, I have See the Sky About to Rain as my number three.
Really?
I love this version. His piano playing's great. It's super, I don't know. It really creates
a picture.
It's shimmering and it's beautiful and it creates a totally different mood. I mean, it's completely, obviously completely different from the On the Beach version, which is really heavy to me. But on here, for somehow, the song is hopeful. It has a hopeful tone to it.
Hold on. You think the On the Beach version is heavy?
Yeah, not sonically. Just he. It's just the way he sings it and the music behind it, the way it was produced. It just has this kind of like very depressing.
Okay.
Kind of super, that whole album is sound. It has such a lonely sound to it.
Yeah.
But this one with just the piano and the way he's playing it, and it just sounds a little more hopeful. Like, see the sky about, like, I'm going into a bad place, but you know what? I'm going to come out the other side and it's going to be better. Okay. As opposed to, I'm going into this bad place and I don't know if I'm coming back.
I get that.
You know what I mean? And Rusty Kershaw is like riding me like a wild hog. You know, so... So I love that. And then my number two is Bad Fog of Loneliness. I love this version of this song.
This is a great version. Yeah.
And this is something that didn't make it to Harvest. I believe he recorded this in Nashville and
it never made it to anything.
Yeah. Until, well,
like officially,
yeah, like the archives, I think was the first time. Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it was on Massey, wasn't it?
Oh, I think so.
But is that part of the archive? I mean, who knows?
Yes, that is.
Massey is part of the archives. It's volume 8, single negative 1.9 on the Richter scale.
I was talking to Confucius about the I Ching, and he told me the order of numbers I should use to create great peace among the galaxy.
And then I was talking to the Maharishi.
I gave the Maharishi $35. It went to the organization.
And then they turned it into a Picasso wallpaper on Blu-ray.
And then my number one is Expecting to Fly.
Okay.
I just love it. I love it. And I love the ending where you're just all of a sudden like, what happened?
Yeah. The ending
it's kind
is
of like you're on a date or you're at a party or something. And then all of a sudden there's like shit just goes down. You have no reason to, you know, why it happened, and then just those notes at the end, and I'm just, it's like, oh my God, I love it. And I just, for some reason, I just see him smiling, having fun doing that, like creating a tense mood.
It reminded me of something, and I can't, the ending did, and I can't remember what it was. I wish I had written it down.
Was it Allentown by Billy Joel?
Nope. Definitely okay. Not that.
Just guessing. And my cut song would be Cinnamon Girl.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's my least favorite. I mean, kind of like how you feel about Down by the River. Not that I'm, although not like, cause I've heard it so much. This is the first time I'm hearing it, but it's just, I don't know. That's as far as everything on the album is. That's the weakest thing, I think.
Russ, can you play a little of Cinnamon Girl? Do you mind? Mm. I'm surprised by this, Mike. I just really, this one just hit me in the right way. I don't know.
You're too busy being mesmerized by his, you know,
adorableness. Why do you always have to go there?
Yeah, we just, Luke's camera pans down. And he's just writing Neil with hearts all around it over and over again.
Really fancy script. Mrs. Neil Young. Mrs. Neil.
Come
Young.
On. He's my cinnamon Neil. What do you want?
Luke Young.
This is a highlight. I don't know. It's so unique. I've never heard Cinnamon Girl like this before. And I just really love it. I just think it's interesting.
I admire that he's trying something different. And I think his singing is great.
Yeah. It's
and
really
I like
good.
It, but compared to everything else on the album, it just doesn't, you know, it's the cut song for me.
That's fair. That's fair.
But his singing, you know, if you heard him there,
I love the way he sings.
What's so great about Archives and the high res. Not only can you hear every string he's touching, but you can really hear the nuance in his voice.
So,
you know, every little breath and the way he's trying to bend his voice. And it's just, it's particularly on this one, it's really good. This one, Massey Hall.
Let me ask you guys a quick question, Russ, before you get into your top three. Why do you think this wasn't part of the Archives? Why do you think he released this a few years after separately? Do you think there's a reason or do you think it's just like...
I think he knew that we were going to be recording this exact day. On the day it was released, and we weren't going to realize it until we were recording it. Yeah.
Yeah. The day he recorded it, he sat up on stage and he's like, those fucking guys, I'm going to blow their minds.
I actually don't think Neil Young knew that, but you know who I think did know that?
David Chase.
Yo Yo Ma's cousin, Lil Nepatiz.
Jesus.
All right.
This isn't part of the Archive series?
It's part of something.
No, it says performance series.
Performance series, which are kind of part of the Archives. Mm. I don't know. It's all made up.
Right. He's just.
It's just fucking. He's, you know what happened? He's like, oh, shit. I need Christmas presents for Ben. And he just got all this shit he's sitting on. And he knows that a bunch of morons, like, not morons.
No, yeah, morons. Yeah, morons.
He's
yeah.
like, they're going to eat up whatever I put out. Like, he could be like...
He knows we're like, there's going to be people like us discussing it ad nauseum. Like, why 2.5? What does that mean?
Yeah. Just put it out. They'll think it's adorable.
Consult the book of numerology. What was Neil really saying here?
It's
true. Holy fuckballs, 2.5.
Where are you at? Speaking of numerology, where are you at in the Sopranos, Mike?
Oh, it's been a while because there's so much shit been going on that I haven't really had a good sit down and watch TV.
You got to get back into it. You still in two or three, season two
no,
or three?
No, I'm into three.
Okay.
I'm on the first episode of four, season four now.
I think the last one I saw was that one they did where... They've centered on the FBI's effort to bug his house.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It starts with that doom, 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 doom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of that episode is the blend of those two songs. I'll be watching you.
It's so good.
But otherwise, that episode's just like, that episode's all right.
Season three is top-notch Sopranos. I think one of my favorite episodes is in season three.
So, yeah, anyway. It's Pine Barrens.
No, it's not my favorite in season three.
What do you like, the Bacala's dad with Burt Young?
No, that is a great one, though. No,
that's it's a good episode.
It's
man.
The one where Melfi gets. I don't want to.
Oh
say
yeah, anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to
yeah.
say anything in front of yeah. Mike. Anyway, Russ, what do you got?
So the thing that about expecting to fly to Mishu that I also really like the end, but I can tell that it seems like he's never either. You know how he does the like pauses? Mm-hmm. They're like yeah. extra long.
Yeah. That's what I love. He creates a tension.
Yeah.
The note and the
but
pause.
But I feel like it's because yeah. he's trying to find the chord.
No.
Oh no.
I feel like he's like getting his hands in the right place for the chord.
I half agree with you.
Yeah.
I half agree with you. I think he decided to try it. And then
it's like, oh, I got to get my hands here.
And then just kept playing it going, yeah, that is good.
Yeah. yeah.
And I think for that moment, and maybe why it's this, maybe. I get the feeling from it that he just kind of forgot he was playing live and he was just yeah. doing it. You know, or I think he really loved playing that piano.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and that's why he did that rap at the end. And like, he probably hit it and said, wow, that sounds really good.
Piano
sounds
good.
He did it again. And he's like, this piano sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, and he just kept doing it.
Yeah.
But I love that. I think that's a great twist at the end of the song.
So is that your three then, Russ?
No, it was going to be in my top three, but I don't know. Yeah, I really like it, and there's things about it that I really like, but then some of it I'm like, I don't know. I just like the other version, I think, so much better. That, like you said, Shu, that version's so cool. Like, the original version is so...
It's so beautiful.
...captivating that, you know, but it's not my top three. I just wanted to talk about that because we were just talking about it, and I thought of it.
While I'm thinking of this, though, Russ, I'm sorry, let me...
No, you're fine. Yeah.
I did want to, like I said, I did want to include the piano rap and the dope rap at the end.
Right.
And so since I'll make that, instead of my three... I'll make that my 2.5.
Wow. Oh. I love it.
Yeah.
Take that,
Neil.
That rap is great too, because honest to God, I had no idea that's what this song was about when he gets into, like, I was just talking about friends who do drugs and then they stop doing them.
You keep doing grass drugs. Mostly.
But, but like, it is weird too that then probably only months later he writes, or not months later, but what was Needle and the Damage Done on? Was that Harvest? That was Harvest, right?
Yeah. But he recorded it during the tour that Massey Hall was part of.
So that was, a year tops after.
Yeah,
this.
That was like 71.
But it's right. interesting.
Maybe
just,
a
and,
year.
And not that it his take on grass changed, but like just drugs or, I don't even know, like what did dope mean in the fucking 70s?
Well, dope meant then that's what they just called weed. Remember, yeah. weed back then was just like, it had the stigma of heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, you know, later on, you know, he would say that's what killed the hippie dream was yeah. the hard drugs, you know, even though he probably did his mountains of cocaine. You know, if he didn't do that, we wouldn't have Zuma.
Yeah.
But
great, so
but he always said it was the hard drugs.
And if we didn't
like
have Zuma,
after a while,
we wouldn't have the titty bird.
So. That's right. And if we didn't have the titty bird, this podcast would not exist. And we'd all be true. Speaking French right now.
Damn right. Call me bastards.
All right, let me do my top three. Here we go.
Okay, sorry, Russ.
Well, hold on. Real quick, Russ. I just want to say it is interesting in Needle and the Damage Done, he talks about a cellar door. I just think that's a thing that we shouldn't just overlook. So
that's cool, man.
It's all one. It's all the same song.
Anyway,
it's all the same song.
All right, Russ. Sorry, I won't interrupt. Sorry,
hey, Daryl, I'm still thinking about Carando Pepperoni. You think they got that at Demoulas?
They don't have Demoulas in fucking Redwood City.
Ralph's?
How about the Piggly Wiggly?
That's only the South.
All right. My number I think Shu and I have the same three. I also have See the Sky About to Rain. Because I mean, I love that song to begin with, On the Beaches. is probably my favorite album, but like,
that's a good one.
I love both versions, especially since that's a, you know, that's got Levon and Rick in it. But this version, it just is so different, and I love his voice in it, and yeah. I love the emotion in it. And yeah, it's cool to hear him playing it, you know, like it's yeah. just, it's a very cool, very unique version. And then After the Gold Rush is another favorite of mine. And
yeah.
I don't even mean the song. I mean the record. And this record, Cellar Door, helped me like remember, Russ, don't forget, you love the record yeah. After the Gold Rush, like a lot, you know, like these songs.
I recall Luke saying,
oh boy,
this is probably his best.
After the Gold Rush?
Definitely his best, yeah.
I did say that. I think.
Then you said it after Harvest.
And after Time Fades Away.
And then Time Fades Away. This might be his best.
But After the Gold Rush has always been, After the Gold Rush and On the Beach have always been battling it out for me. So when I heard this record, I was like, oh yeah, man, these songs. So I would actually have to put, I think I'd put Don't Let It Bring You Down. And I know that's timely because I just posted a cover of that. So that would be my two.
Russ did just post a cover of that on patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. And yeah. I do, Russ, I just want to really quick, I'm glad that you said that because you had some comments immediately. Ricky Harvey, who is a patron, just wrote, absolutely gorgeous. Well done, Russ. Thank you.
Nice.
Sarah Lynn Carlin wrote one of my favorites, nailed it. And then Craig Bitch wrote haunting. Well done.
I don't think that's what he's paying for.
Craig, thanks, bitch. Craig Bitch. Hey, Craig Bitch.
I hope if he changes his name on Patreon to Craig Bitch, we're sending him merch.
He's a hero. He's a goddamn hero.
Also, we need to pick a patron to win the thing. But anyway,
my number one. Funny. Is Bad Fog of Loneliness, which I would like to play some of because I think we all really like that tune.
That's your one, though, huh? That one.
Yeah, man, it just got me.
That's a good tune.
Really fucking got me. Yeah. It's just so young Neil, you know?
Yeah.
It's adorable young Neil.
Bad Fog of Loneliness. Put a cloud on. My single-mindedness, my dream of sweet
colors. With Luke, from Luke. Anyway, yeah, I just think it's so pretty, and
I
think it's a goddamn shame that this song just never had its chance. It never saw its day.
But
it's such great writing. I love this song.
So, Russ, I was thinking the same thing, but then I also thought, I think, and not that this would have happened, but there's a chance Jack Nietzsche could have ruined this song. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually true, yeah.
Can you imagine this with like Disney princess shit?
Oh my
behind
God.
It?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Bad Fog of Loneliness.
I know. With a choir and all that shit and a Glockenspiel.
And
I do think Jack Nietzsche, not that he, like, I think he's got some real great highlights on some of Neil's earlier stuff, but I do think
Old Laughing Lady.
Old Laughing Lady.
You can't deny Old Laughing
Lady. Top notch. I mean,
the studio version is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The whole like,
the gospel thing.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh,
so
yeah. Good. You know what? Let's start the podcast over. Let's go back to the first album.
Let's do that one.
I have probably a bit of a controversial cut song. My cut song would be I Am a Child, only because I feel like it's on every single archive. I hear that song on every, he does it at all, like in every of these old live ones. It's always there.
I think I feel that way about Tell Me Why or.
No, Tell Me Why. I almost made Tell Me Why my.
I love that song. I just think it's on.
I don't think he does it on all of them. I Am a Child. I feel like I hear that all the time.
On the Way Home, he does one of the. He always starts. And maybe that's just.
On the Way Home's not on here.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right, because that's usually on these, especially around this time period. But
yeah,
I think I Am a Child is on every single one of them.
Is it really?
I feel like it is. I mean, obviously, it's probably not, but it just feels like it is. And I love the song.
Are there sexual connotations in I Am a Child?
Luke, you need to get out of this mindset today, dude.
Okay. I Am a Child. I last a while.
are you saying Stephen Stills helped write this song?
You can't conceive.
Oh yeah.
Of the pleasure. Dude, I'm just saying, like,
that there's shark maybe over there.
Maybe Neil's got a kink.
My hair.
Yeah. Oh, what was the original thing that I thought it was?
Neil's got a kink. He likes to pretend to be a little child.
Remember,
it's fine.
Don't
kink shame. Do not.
I'm not kink shaming. I don't even think this is a sexual album. I think this is an adorable album, and I'm weird. I'm weirded out that Mike doesn't agree with us.
I don't think it's an adorable album.
Don't you want to just drink a little hot cocoa with me?
Listen, Shu is just not a child. Shu is not a child. He can't get.
I'm a full grown man. And I'm ain't talking right.
God, you gotta put my big boy pants on.
Yeah,
Luke. He don't talk no shit.
Luke, you're really freaking me out.
I'm not freaking you out. I'm just having a moment where Neil's usually fierce, or he's like very.
Like silly, really,
earnest,
really silly,
sad, melancholy. But this one, I'm just getting a good, adorable vibe between the songs. So
it's another side of Neil Young.
And I'm
tonight on the Lifetime Network.
Delilah here. I just want to tell you about Luke. Luke just wrote in, dear Neil, dear Delilah. I've been on again, off again with my beau, Neil Young. This is a bad Delilah impression. Mike, have you ever met Delilah?
Never met Delilah. No. I've heard a lot of her.
Delilah.
What her meltdowns, if they're anything like Casey Kasem's.
You know, That'd be great.
Coming out of an upbeat song with a goddamn death story.
All right. What the fuck? All right, we don't need
to. I like this. How our top three. Well, Russ and I have similar top threes, but how we really differ in opinion on a lot of different things about this record.
Yeah,
and I like that. Whether they're different in the way where we have good opinions, but they're different, or
you and
we
Russ's
disagree.
Weren't that similar.
We just had the one. This one, just to see this guy. Which, yeah. It's great. It's great here. On piano like this.
See the sky about to rain.
I mean him solo piano.
Broken clouds and rain. Locomotive.
I just want everyone to know Luke is listening to this and he's hugging a teddy bear with Neil's face taped to it and real close to his head.
Available soon at the Long May You Young podcast.com merch page.
Teddy Neils.
Me and Neil are...
Neil full body pillows.
Yeah. We're snuggled up listening to this and watching Monsters University. What do you want? It's adorable. It's an adorable night. God damn it. What are we doing?
What are you doing, Luke? You're freaking us out, man.
Russ was on board with me.
I thought you did this because you love the music, but no, you just want to be with Neil.
I do love the music.
You want to make it with Neil.
Ew, don't say make it. It's weird. All right. We should do
He wants to go steady with him.
Right. He wants to take him to a movie.
This ain't Saved by the Bell.
And then buy him a malted afterwards.
Saved by the Neil. Screech Young. Hey, Preppy.
Jesus.
All right.
Hey, Daryl, did you know anybody from Saved by the Bell?
All right, let's get out of here. Then.
All right, we're descending into nonsense. Thanks for listening,
good luck,
everybody.
Shu, good luck with your house.
Thanks.
Your house,
yeah, hopefully the house will still be standing. And by the time, what are we doing next? Is that Letter Home?
I think it's Letter Home. I mean, we'll have an Patreon episode in between. I'm not sure what we'll do, but it'll be either a Neil Young album or it won't be.
Get Back. It'll be the Beatles.
Yeah, who knows what it'll be. But definitely patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. We do some fun stuff over there. And check and Russ and me do covers once a month. It's great. I don't know.
And then where can the public see you guys play next? You got a big New Year's show coming up, right?
The Bull Run. Yeah. It is getting close to being sold out. We sell it out every year. This is the first year where I'm not sure because it's our first pandemic Bull Run. But it's always a fun time there. Good alcohol, a good vibe.
Good sound. That's smart. Diss the place before you go there. The sound guy's listening.
I don't care.
Oh, you want some
shit.
Good sound, Luke? Okay.
I'll say this publicly. No, I won't. Never
You'll
mind.
Get nothing but snare.
Russ knows how hard I'm biting my tongue right now. God damn. Jesus.
Sorry I brought it up.
Ugh. Mike, you should come to that show. Come to that
I
show.
I think it's exciting
fun.
You're playing on the same stage that the Tubes played.
Who
That's
are the
awesome.
Tubes? They better
the
not
tubes.
Be a ska band.
You don't know the Tubes?
The no. Tube Rays.
You don't know She's a beauty, one in a million.
No, I love how like very
Sounds
famous
like
people have played
Sounds
on
like
the Bull Run
song.
Stage and Mike goes with the Tubes.
The Tubes. Talk to you later. White Punks on Dope. You ever hear that one?
No, like Jonathan Edwards is playing
on
the Bull Run. And Mike's like, the Tubes.
The go when you go there, ask the dude about the Tubes.
I'm not gonna ask the dude about anything.
You're not even gonna get sound
he'll
in
get,
your microphone.
He'll get going.
We'll get heated. It's happened All in the right. past, Mike. But you should come to that show.
That's the Bull Run in Shirley, Massachusetts on New Year's Eve.
Has Shu even seen Town Meeting play live?
No, he's never
done.
No, he
well, just on your live stream you did during the pandemic.
That was terrible.
Mike, come to the Bull Run. We'll get you in, buddy.
That's okay.
Bring Josh.
I think Josh will be there anyway.
Oh my God.
We won't get Josh in.
If Josh Dolan's going, then I'm going because I want to.
He will, but
scene.
We're not comping him, but we'll comp you.
You know, Josh Dolan's pretty adorable.
He is adorable.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, he's fucking adorable.
Yeah, he is.
Don't you just want to squeeze him?
I have.
Why don't you change breaking the ice to squeezing the ice?
Squeezing the ice.
Squeezing the Josh.
How about the adorable ice? All right.
Sorry, but there's nothing adorable about Isaiah. All right. On that note.
All right.
I'm burning bridges left and right here.
For listening. Go to the website, longmeyoungpodcast.com.
Yeah, Luke, why don't you just... Never mind. Go ahead. All right. Patreon.com/longmeyoung. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that shit. We love you guys.
Yeah, follow us. Communicate. Yeah. Buy merch, please. All right.
All right, bye, everyone.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.